Power Principles, Chapter 17, Power Principle 11, The Power of Suffering. Key Verse. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Introduction. The last chapter began discussion of the two power principles of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 16 concerned the power of the resurrection in the life of the believer. This chapter focuses on the power of fellowship in suffering. Paul said of Jesus, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. We view suffering through human reasoning. By every standard of human reasoning, the cross of Jesus was a waste of a great and noble life. But in the reasoning of God, it was the greatest demonstration of his power. It resulted in the salvation of man. Paul understood this important principle of spiritual power. The power of God is disguised in weakness. This is why he could say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. We never see power in weakness or failure. This is a strange attitude for people whose center of faith is the cross. Jesus experienced the resurrection after he had suffered. Resurrection power comes through the fellowship of his suffering. True spiritual power is demonstrated not in the absence of suffering, problems, and crises, but in the midst of them. Power turns what the world calls an ordeal into an opportunity for the demonstration of the power of God. The source of suffering. God did not create suffering. It originally entered the world through man's sin, which was instigated by Satan. Genesis chapter 3. When man yielded to Satan's temptation and sinned, suffering entered the world. Sin, which resulted in all suffering, can be traced to its originator, Satan. Although there are different reasons why suffering enters your life, all suffering can be traced back to this original source. Happily, in the life of a believer, God can take suffering, which Satan intends for evil, and turn it for good to accomplish his purposes. It can actually become an opportunity for the power of God to be demonstrated in your life. The reasons for suffering. The Bible has much to say concerning suffering, problems, and afflictions. In summarizing its teaching, we discover 5 ways that suffering can enter a believer's life. All suffering you face in life will come through one of these ways. Others around you. Suffering and difficult circumstances of life may come through others around you. Joseph is an example of this type of suffering. Through no fault of his own, Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers, was imprisoned falsely by Potiphar's wife, and was forgotten by those he helped in prison. But listen to his response. Joseph said, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did not send me before you to preserve life. For God did send me before you to preserve life, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Genesis chapter 45, verses 5 and 8. Circumstances of life. The second way suffering comes to you is through the circumstances of life. This is illustrated by the experiences of Naomi, recorded in the book of Ruth in the Bible. She was bitter with sorrow because of the death of her husband and sons. Until Jesus returns and the final enemy of death is conquered, death is part of life. Death entered through the original sin of man, and it is a natural circumstance which we will all face, for it is appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. When Naomi experienced these difficult circumstances of life, she said, "No longer call me Naomi," which means blessed, "but call me Mara." The name Mara means bitter. Your ministry. The third reason for suffering is because of your ministry for the Lord. The New Testament speaks of suffering for his name's sake. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. In behalf of Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. For well-doing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. And chapter 3, verse 17. For righteousness' sake. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. As a Christian. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. And according to the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. The Apostle Paul is an example of suffering resulting from ministry. Some people view suffering as a sign of failure or lack of faith. If this is true, then the Apostle Paul had no faith and was the greatest failure in the history of the church. Paul said that while in Asia, he was so utterly crushed that he despaired of life itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He presents a different image than that of the cheerful evangelist who promises believers nothing but peace and prosperity. When Paul was first called of God to ministry, he was told of great things he would suffer for the sake of the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Paul's response to suffering was to endure the loss of all things to win some for Christ. He wrote to believers, "To you it is given not only to believe, but to suffer for him." Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Paul was not alone in suffering for the ministry. The whole church suffered in New Testament times. Acts chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 11 records the stories of some of the cruel persecutions they endured. Many of these men and women of faith were delivered by the power of God. Prison doors were opened and they walked out. They were sentenced to death in fiery furnaces, but emerged unaffected by the flames. But some of these believers, who are also called men and women of faith, did not receive such deliverance. They were imprisoned, afflicted, tormented, and even martyred because of their testimony of the gospel. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 through 40. We focus on living faith, but God also reveals his power in dying faith. This is a faith that stands true in the bad times, not just in good times, when mighty deliverance is manifested. Direct satanic activity. Suffering can also enter your life as a result of direct satanic activity. This is evident in the story of Job. This book wrestles with the question, why do the righteous suffer? God's testimony of Job was that he was a righteous man. Job chapters 1 to 2. Job did not suffer because he had sinned, as his friends claimed. They believed if Job repented, his circumstances would change. These friends tried to make a universal application based on individual experience. It would be similar to saying that because God delivered Peter from prison, he will do the same for you. This is not true. Many have been martyred in prison despite their great faith and sinless lives. We must be careful when we view the suffering of others that we do not accuse them of sin, faithlessness, or unbelief. The Bible does teach that a sinful man reaps a bitter harvest because of sowing in fleshly corruption. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. But sowing and reaping cannot be used to explain the suffering of the innocent. Job did not suffer because of anything he had done. Job was a righteous man. This was God's testimony of Job, Job's testimony of himself, and his reputation before men. Behind the scenes in the spiritual world was the true cause of Job's suffering. There was a spiritual battle going on over the heart, mind, and allegiance of Job. There is a warfare going on in the spiritual world over you. That warfare is manifested in the difficult circumstances you experience in the natural world. An important truth evident in Job's suffering is that nothing can enter the life of a believer without the knowledge of God. God does not cause your suffering. It is inflicted by Satan. But its limits are set by God. God's power is greater than that of Satan, and you will experience victory if you continue to trust him. Your own sin. The fifth way suffering enters your life is because of your own sin. Jonah is an example of such suffering. In disobedience to God, Jonah headed the opposite direction from Nineveh, where he had been commanded to go and preach repentance. He experienced a terrible storm at sea and ended up in the belly of a great fish because of his own sin. Jonah chapters 1 to 2. Trouble should always be treated as a call to consider your ways and examine your heart before God. You may be suffering because of your own sin. The Bible reveals that God chastises those who live in disobedience to his word. Chastise means to discipline, reprove, and correct. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. God uses suffering to correct you and bring you back to his will for your life. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Psalms 119, verses 67, 71, and 75. The proper attitude towards suffering. Trouble is not necessarily a sign of being sinful. The Bible declares, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Psalms 34, verse 19. When you suffer innocently and not because of your own sin, you should maintain a proper attitude towards suffering. The real test of your spirituality is how you respond in the day of distress. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Proverbs 24, verse 10. The Bible describes the attitude you should have when you suffer as a believer within the will of God. You should not be ashamed. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. You should commit your soul or your suffering to God, knowing he works all things for your good. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. You should be happy when you suffer according to the will of God. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Paul says you should be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. You should not think it strange when you experience suffering. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Paul summarizes the proper attitude towards suffering when he explains, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Paul views suffering as a servant. He said it works for us. Power through suffering. Remember, God does not cause suffering. Suffering is in the world because of sin, but God uses suffering as an opportunity to demonstrate his power. He uses it to turn bad to good. God takes that which was intended for bad and turns it to good. He redeems it to accomplish his purposes. Joseph told his brothers who had sold him into slavery, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Genesis chapter 45, verses 5 and 8. Satan caused his brothers to bring suffering to Joseph, but God redeemed it for good. Despite the negative circumstances, God was at work behind the scenes. Satan inspired men to deliver Jesus to death, but God redeemed it for good. His death resulted in salvation and resurrection life. God demonstrates his power when he takes your suffering and uses it to accomplish his purposes. There are no accidents or chance happenings in the life of believers because God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1, verse 11. To turn losses to wins. God turns natural losses to spiritual gains. Paul wrote of his losses in the natural world. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. To turn weakness to strength. Paul knew that the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. This is why Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 10. Your human weakness provides opportunity for the demonstration of the power of God. To test your faith. Everything in the spiritual world is based on faith. This is why the strength of your faith must be tested. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It is a trial of faith when you pray as Jesus did, for God to let the cup of bitterness pass, and yet it does not pass. Instead, you are forced to drink deeply of its suffering. Faith will learn that our prayers are not unanswered just because they are not answered the way we want. To equip you to comfort others. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. When you share God's comfort with others, you lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. To teach you not to trust in yourself. Paul spoke of the purpose of his sufferings in Asia. In Asia, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. You will come to recognize that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. To develop positive spiritual qualities. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, resulting in the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 4. After ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. These qualities conform you to the image of Jesus, which is God's plan for you. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 29. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. To manifest the works of God. When the disciples saw a man who had been blind from birth, they asked who was responsible for his condition. Was it the sin of his parents or of the man himself? Jesus answered, "Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." John chapter 9, verse 3.